Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on Black and White and Red All Over. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode number 57. I think you saw that jersey number during Juventus' friendly against Cesena on Saturday. So it's fitting that we will start this episode there. So before that, let me bring in a couple of our crew members here. We are Sergio-less this weekend because of unforeseen circumstances having to do with his car. So we wish our buddy the best. But first and foremost, here's Sam LaPresti. Hello, Sam.
It's unfortunate because I was hoping to get Sergio's comments on Mexico losing at the Olympics today. They lost 2-1 to Japan, and that was a little bit of a surprise, I would say.
We'll see if he's as interested in the Olympics as he is in the Gold Cup.
As he is in the Gold Cup, yeah.
When he comes back next week. We've also got Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Yeah, I think it's ironic that, well, I say this with all the kindness in my heart, of course, but I think it's ironic that Sergio's car messed up after he questioned the all-seeing Ronaldo on his supercars last week.
Are you trying to say that Sergio does not have any supercars, or his car is very far from being super?
As politicians would say, I can neither confirm nor deny these allegations.
Well, on that note of Chuck's taking the easy way out of answering the questions, we'll start with the friendly and get into a few other things after that. We obviously got our first glimpse of Max Allegri Ball 2.0. And it's hard to really take a lot out of it outside of a few things, considering that, like I alluded to, a whole lot of jersey numbers were in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, which means youth players. And as we're joking, and maybe it's not so much a joke in hindsight before we hit record here, is that, you know, you could see basically one or two guys from that starting lineup on Saturday actually being in the starting lineup come August 22nd in Udine. And I think that's where we'll start with this, is obviously, you know, a lot will be talked about in terms of how Allegri set things up, but the most notable moment of the friendly for me as I watched it was the interaction between Max Allegri and Weston McKennie after McKennie's goal put Juventus up 2-0 in the first half was Allegri flashing all 10 fingers and basically telling Weston, hey, that's how many goals I want you to score this year. So for somebody who watched it, I think that's probably the only real thing we can take out of it. And Sam, what are your thoughts on the friendly, knowing that so many players who will be starting August 22nd weren't around yesterday?
That's pretty much the way that the only way to look at it is that, you know, with the exception of McKennie's performance, which was very good, he assisted on the first goal and he obviously scoring the second on a nice little dribble and move in there. I wasn't expecting that from him. It's the first friendly of the year. Everyone's on vacation because there was a whole crap ton of internationals going on. But I do think that one thing that you can take from it, I think actually is pretty valuable, which is what Allegri wants McKennie to do. And I've kind of alluded to this before, but I really think that that Allegri looks at McKennie and sees that kind of player that Sami Khedira was before his body broke down, who can really run into the box and out of that Metzala spot and make a lot of chaos and be that supporting player that comes up into the box for the forwards. And like you said, he 10 goals. He wants him to be productive in the attacking end this year. And from the 45 minutes that we saw, and hopefully there's nothing major involved with him because he did come out of there with a big old strap on his leg, a big, huge bandage around one knee. That I think is what we can really, I think if we really need to focus in on him, because I think he could end up being a pretty key aspect of Allegri's new midfield going forward.
Yeah, like you said, Sam and Danny, I mean, obviously there's only so much we can say about a friendly in which, the average shirt number was above the 50s, probably, which is great. You see all kinds of, funky combinations of shirt numbers, 57, 91, all these obscure numbers. But yeah, now there's obviously not too much we can... I want to say I did see 190.
That's
I swear
a lot.
It's on,
not
I swear
not
it's on
even
90 something. I thought I might be mistaken, but I know I saw entertainingly high numbers.
Yes, I think the highest one was 60. 60 or 61.
Oh, was there? Oh, maybe it was. Oh, maybe I guess I didn't see the six in it. Yeah, new shirts, I'm still getting used to fonts and all that. And, I can barely understand the fonts on social media. They have all these wacky effects and blame on social media. Blame on the banks too. But yeah, so of course with McKennie's role, I think, yeah, indeed, maybe it's going to be kind of like an Arturo Vidal kind of role of, obviously being a disruptive player, tackling and really getting in there physically and disrupting an opponent's play, being that one midfielder that's really tasked with disrupting opponent's play. But then also, contributing offensively, which was like Vidal did. I'm not saying that they'll be exactly equivalent players, but just that kind of set of characteristics that A, McKennie does have, I do believe, and that B, Allegri could cultivate further in McKennie. And yeah, I mean, he has the ability to contribute some goals. We saw that one of the most surprising things last season was that he was offensively better than we thought. Definitely better than I thought. I thought he would just be... I remember saying specifically, I thought that he would basically be a better version of Blaise Matuidi, but essentially the same, characteristics and stuff. And I was clearly wrong. And, that's fine, because I think as a pseudo Vidal, I think that would be very useful. Because obviously, we've talked ad nauseum about the issues in the midfield. But yeah, one of the problems is creativity / offensive kind of contribution from midfield. And yeah, who knows, McKennie could contribute that, and I'm all for it. I think he could be great in that role. I think he has the characteristics for it. He's high energy, he's young, and I mean, he's technically very capable and has had a season under his belt now with Juventus, so he is familiar with the system, and most importantly, he's one of the few, if only, well, okay, Dybala as well, but essentially, yeah, one of the two main players for Juventus that's had a preseason, or that will have a preseason, has a preseason right now, which is, yeah, a luxury that not many players can boast of as well.
What gives you that idea, Chucks?
Oh, it's been a grueling year, 2 years or so. So that's definitely a privilege.
I also do think, I mean, and again, you can talk about the competition and just the general air of the first friendly of the year, but between this game and the CONCACAF Nations League final between the U.S. and Mexico that McKennie played in at the beginning of the summer, he looks healthy again. Like, he looks like he's got that spring in his running and the energy that he had before he had that hip injury that really just derailed his season. So I think that's the other thing to really take away from that, is that he looks physically sound again. And we're seeing, you know, based on what we've seen from him over, since the season ended, that we might start seeing that player again.
Yeah. I mean, I said it in the post I wrote in, you know, that went live a few hours before the friendly started, is that one of the main things, I just wanted to see how he's moving. You know, that was the biggest thing. You know, we saw how explosive he was going forward out of the midfield the first half of last season. And then obviously, like Sam just said, the hip injury just zapped all of the really good form that he had come the turn of the calendar. So I wanted to see how he was moving. And like we have alluded to, he's one of the few people who have had both a preseason and a normal-ish kind of summer to rest up. I mean, you look at Dybala, he wasn't, you know, albeit, you know, he's dealing with a minor injury right now, but he wasn't at Copa America. He was able to rest up, you know, get healthy again, you know, knock on wood that remains, you know, stays that way after this little muscle.
It is Allegri and muscle injuries. Yeah. That's just going to be a fact of life for however long this second stint lasts.
And McKennie as well. He played in the CONCACAF Nations League final, you know, back in June, early June. And then he was able to rest up and have a solid, what, 5-6 weeks off between reporting to training. So he's had a normal kind of summer that seems like so few players who are, you know, regular international players for their national teams have these days. So I think that was big for me, just to see that he's moving well again. And obviously, you know, like Sam said, he had a goal and an assist, but the way he was moving, the runs he was making forward, the usual McKennie-ness, I guess, if you want to invent a word, that seemed to be there. And that was,
McKennie-ismo.
That was good to see from him. So outside of that, I mean, obviously, you know,
I just had one other thought.
Yeah.
Sorry. Which was that, again, circumstances being what they are, this isn't a huge thing, but watching the center back pairing that we had at the beginning of the game, and I'm working on an article that'll probably go up this week regarding this in a little bit.
Does it involve Daniele Rugani getting the captain's armband?
It does not involve Daniele Rugani necessarily getting the captain's armband, but just given the fact that the money is so lacking this summer, and also given the fact that there is a lot of smoke in the reports that say that Mara Demiral might be leaving the team this year, because either to use Sergio's phrase, to sacrifice him to the altar of capital gains, or simply because he wants to go and get more regular starting time. It's entirely possible that Juventus is going to be forced to have Rugani and Dragusin as the depth behind the top three center backs of Chiellini, presuming he resigns, which I think we're all presuming, and Bonucci and De Ligt. So watching them in this game, and also in further friendlies, because I assume they'll play a little bit, probably a lot of bit, because Bonucci and Chiellini, goodness knows when they'll actually be considered game fit for friendlies when they get back from their break, which is well deserved. It'll be something to keep an eye on, because, you know, injuries happen, suspensions happen, the need to cycle guys out, the need to rest guys happens, and it's possible that they're gonna be the bottom of the depth chart. So they're worth keeping an eye on over the rest of the summer.
Yeah, and it's interesting on that too, because it reminds me of a comment I'd made, I want to say like a month or two ago now, about Chiellini. And I remember saying, and perhaps writing as well, but saying that I thought that we should not keep Chiellini, given just his fitness issues and all, you know, all his injuries and stuff. I was saying that we should not keep Chiellini unless we have like an extra center back basically to cover for him. So like usually, you know, if you're playing like two center back formation, then you would have usually four center backs in your roster, maybe like a fifth youth player or something. But generally, you would have like just a backup for both starting center backs. So yeah, in a normal case, you would have four center backs. But, you know, I was kind of saying that if we're going to keep Chiellini, we basically have to have an extra center back on staff, because, I mean, I just don't presume he's going to stay fit for any more than, I mean, I hate to say 40% of the season, maybe, you know, if even that. So, yeah, then we have Chiellini, Bonucci, and, yeah, I mean, De Ligt, obviously, and Hugani, Demiral, I mean, I don't know, De Agustin, I mean, how many of them are going to stay, who's going to leave, who's going to come in. So, but, yeah, point being, I mean, I would want to have essentially five starting center backs on staff, because I'm kind of counting Chiellini as half, given that he's, yeah, given all his fitness in, issues and stuff. But yeah, I mean, let's see. I mean, who knows? There's still a summer transfer window of about a month or so left. So yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
Well, that's the difficult part in all of this, is that one of your center backs is Chiellini. And as we saw last year, you can say maybe count on him for a couple of weeks, but there's always going to be that risk of him missing just as much time if he plays, you know, two or three games within a 10-day period or whatever. So last year it made it a little more easier to absorb, because you had Danilo playing in that kind of hybrid center back, fullback kind of role. But unless Max decides to get crazy and play a hybrid kind of formation.
Max, no.
I mean, he can get crazy, but I don't know if he's going to go Pirlo 4-4-2-3-5, whatever.
Fair.
Bouncing back and forth.
I will say that of the last three coaches that Juventus has had, Allegri was probably the best at keeping Chiellini healthy and rested. We're talking 3 years ago, Chiellini, he didn't let him play back-to-back games in this, you know, when there's midweek a lot. Or maybe he would, you know, there was a big game on the weekend and then a Champions League game, but then the third game was Benatia or Rugani or somebody. Of all the guys that I think might be, you know, on a program like that, I actually would trust Allegri to do that, because he did it very, very well for the majority of that last season.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Definitely. And speaking of a guy who's obviously up there in age and I think it's safe to say demands to play a few more minutes than Giorgio Chiellini does. Earlier in the day that we're recording here, Cristiano Ronaldo officially landed in Turin. So Pavel Nedved's remarks that Ronaldo, at least for now, is going to, you know, stay with Juventus have proven true. So the day that this podcast comes out, probably around the same time, Ronaldo will be stepping onto the training field at Continassa for the first time this summer. And, you know, it, I don't know if you want to call it anticlimactic, because we were, I think as we discussed last week, it was, we were expecting a whole lot more when it came to the rumors and everything like that. And it really wasn't very many rumors at all, outside of maybe the usual chatter because it's Ronaldo. But it seems like that problem, or whatever you want to call it, has been resolved, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm of the mind that, you know, unless anything truly dramatic in terms of news comes out, I'm assuming he's going to be here. He's going to stay. He's going to, yeah, be on the pitch on August 22nd, I believe it was, against Udinese, and yeah, just be ready to go. And just to clarify, I mean, I think that just means that the status quo, in terms of the status quo, I think it's leaning towards him staying, which, I mean, you know, that's fine. That's fine. Which is a shame that Sergio's not on, because he had that article on, you know, the Cristiano Ronaldo era needing to end, although doesn't, not necessarily meaning that it was a failure, but it needing to end. So I'm sure he would have had something to say, but yeah.
He's ducking us, Chelsea.
Yeah. Is there really a broken car he has?
He knows. Yeah. That would have been a fun debate, because my opinion on this is fairly well known. And you know, he had a great piece. I loved his piece this week. It was very, very well done. But yeah, I mean, Ronaldo, like we all said last week, just because of the weirdness of the football economy right now, and because of his age, there was always a very limited amount of options for him to leave the team this year. And you know, like I said last week, I think the one that might still potentially happen would be if he turns into a domino in a Kylian Mbappe deal, if Real Madrid decides to back up a couple of dozen Brinks trucks at the Parc des Princes and get Kylian Mbappe to Madrid. But other than that, I mean, yeah, he'll probably be on the team this year. Question in that regard is, what does that mean about next year? Do you just let him walk on the Bosman? I know that Andrea Agnelli has been hoping to tack a year onto his contract to either be able to get something out of him next year, or because he actually wants him on the team for another year, which I wouldn't put it past Agnelli, because he's really, really committed to this. If that were to happen, I can't imagine it being for the same salary. That's another thing that we touched on last week. You know, if he does re-sign, does he drop the wage a little bit? What happens? But yeah, I mean, it's anticlimactic for sure. I personally feel that I wish it had been a little different, because I would have liked to have used the savings that he represented to make a few more upgrades on the team. But reality is reality, and the reality is he's probably a Juventus player at the end of the day.
And the reality is also, how much does this change potentially what Allegri was thinking his squad would look like come August? You know, I mean, yeah, obviously he's smart enough to realize, look, if Ronaldo stays, we'll try this. If Ronaldo leaves, we'll do this. You know, it's Max Allegri. He's already coached Ronaldo once, so he has an idea of what needs to happen. But at the same time, you know, we keep hearing that Dybala is going to be the centerpiece of this project, not Ronaldo. So how is that going to suddenly change the tactics? Because as we hear, you know, Ronaldo and Dybala might work when it comes to offense, but you know, so much of Juventus's struggles hasn't necessarily always been offense. And you know, Ronaldo has obviously scored plenty of goals, you know, over 100 in three seasons. So that hasn't been a problem for him. It's kind of the trickle-down effect. What happens because both of those guys are now going to be in the starting lineup more often than not?
And this is why I don't have my coaching badges.
this is why we're thousands and thousands of miles away trying to figure out what Max Allegri is thinking right now.
Yeah, I mean, that is, putting the two of them on the field at the same time definitely would sacrifice, defense at some level. Frankly, I wonder if you're sacrificing Dybala's effectiveness too, because, the solution for Allegri the first time around was to slap Dybala over on the right-hand side with Mandzukic in the middle, and Dybala did not have a good year. One of the reasons why Paratici was trying to hawk him the summer. And, the best I've seen out of Dybala was when Sarri was using him as a false nine during the restart with Ronaldo on the left. Or do you put, crazy idea, I don't know, put Dybala in the hole with Ronaldo and Morata up front working off of each other together in a 4-2-3, in a 4-3-1-2. I don't know. That's just me spitballing, but it's clear that you're going to have to get them both on the field at the same time. But also, we've seen how Allegri reacts to sudden deficiencies in defense. When he went into the 17-18 season with the 4-2-3-1 still installed and Juve started leaking goals the first couple of months, he switched to a 4-3-3 like that. So it's going to be, it will be interesting to see if you do try to get an optimal setup for the two of them out there and the team does start to bleed goals, even if they're winning, will Allegri have the reactions he's had before, or will he just stick with it?
I mean, the hope I take from all this, or the optimism, I think that's the better word. The optimism I take from this is that, Allegri has at least already kind of dealt with this issue in his first stint. Obviously at the end of his first stint as Juve coach, which just the entire conundrum of, Dybala and Ronaldo and just fitting him in and still maintaining some kind of defensive balance. And, at least he's already dealt with this. So I have faith that he's able to deal with this again and able to solve the issue or just reach kind of a tactical setup that best balances offense and defense, given just, and how he spoke about it. I remember when he was just on a sabbatical, he did have some interviews just talking about like how much you have to tactically sacrifice when you have Ronaldo on the team, and just, the lopsidedness of the team once you have Ronaldo as part of it. So, at least he's definitely been thinking about it.
Yeah. And that team that he had, that Allegri had that first year that Ronaldo was on the team, he had Mandzukic to drop back in and do a lot of the defensive dirty work that you're not going to see out of Ronaldo. And that brings a lot, and you get, Morata can do that to a degree, but certainly not to the degree that Manzu was able to do, because that was just a calling card for him.
Definitely. And I think obviously we've got a friendly this coming weekend to see if one, Ronaldo plays, and two, what Allegri has in store as the internationals slowly start to trickle back in. It's quite interesting just how it all played out, where Juventus doesn't have them coming in one giant wave. It's almost like two or three players at a time, and then the Italians last to arrive with the Copa America champions in Brazil with Danilo and Alexandro, or I should say finalists, not champions, my bad. So on that note, we've got a few Twitter questions here to wrap things up, if you guys are so inclined.
I'll do that.
Hit me with that funky beat. I think that's a song. I don't know.
It is. That's why I'm laughing.
I'm fortunate that my fiance is obsessed with music, so I learn these things.
you totally... caught me in my tracks there, Chuck. I was not expecting that.
I hit you with the fucking beat. I mean, 1-2 step, man.
All right. Well, since we already talked about him a little bit, I guess we'll start here. We've got a couple of questions regarding the potential sale of one Mehdi Demiral from at Arthur Schmidt the Fourth. Given the age and recent injury history of both Chiellini and Bonucci, do you feel it is wise to sell off Demiral? Who provides cover if a sale goes forward? And from at Philol Juve fan, do you think we will regret it if we sell Mehdi Demiral? I really think if he gets consistent minutes at a club like Atalanta, he is going to skyrocket in value. And also, he adds that he has so much belief in Allegri being able to turn defenders into stars. So it's a little sad to see Demiral potentially go.
You always have the question of, do you want a player around that doesn't necessarily want to be there? And a lot of the newer reports say that Demiral is interested in starting regularly. And when you do have Chiellini, Bonucci, and Matthijs de Ligt solidly in front of him on the depth chart, and I think deservedly so, it's tough. And it's going to be really tough for him to break in and get those consistent minutes that the questioner was talking about to put the polish on him, because that's what he's a rough diamond right now. He's a raw diamond and badly needs polishing. You can see, the talent is obviously there, but he needs more seasoning, and he's not going to get it at Juve unless there are some really major injury issues. So at the end of the day, it comes down to, if he truly wants to leave, you've got to at least look into it, because having a disgruntled player around is never a good idea. As for, who provides cover, we mentioned that before, probably some combination of Radu Dragosin and Daniele Rugani. It would be really interesting to see if Dragosin became a full-time first team player, because I think he's got a lot of potential as well. And dear God, the kid, he's what, 19, 20 years old, and he looks like he's a freaking mountain. Like I ran into him full speed, I'd disappear.
Now, what do they feed kids these days anyway?
I don't know, but whatever it is, whatever they gave Dragosin, give it to all the rest of the prospective center backs. but yeah, that's pretty much that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, would it be a shame to sell Demiral? Yeah, sure, but I don't know. I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I just don't really rate him very highly. I mean, he seems like just a nice enough guy, but I just don't rate him very highly for Juventus. My main issue with him is just that he dives in way too much. It drives me nuts. It's just, it's such a contrast to someone like, well, I guess maybe Bonucci, but I don't know, Chiellini and like Bazzali, like just standing your ground and just denying the striker.
And that's what, I talk about the polish. I mean, like he is very good. He just has, he just has things that he has to learn. And that's the biggest one of them, but that is one of, sorry to interrupt.
No worries. Yeah. And I guess it just depends on Juve of like, do we have the patience to, spend, however many years on polishing that, or do we just want to get the finished product and just, we don't have time and we just want to get that in there as quickly as possible. Obviously, we don't have much money, so we would have to get a pretty decent transfer fee from Demiral, which, I don't know, there's always some English club that'll throw, some stupid amount of money. So, there's always one of those suckers around there. How much did Ben White go to Arsenal for some asinine fee from Brighton and Hove Albion? I was reading that the other day, but anyway, that's another conversation for another day. But yeah, so, I think we could get a decent fee for him because he's only 23. And yeah, I think he could be a good player.
50 million pounds, by the way.
How many?
50 million pounds.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
In this economy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes to show you what Prem money will do for you. But
yeah. That's like I said, there's always some, as the other song goes, there's always some sucker MC you know, Premier League club that will buy him. But yeah, I mean, I think Demiral could be a good player for just, I mean, I don't know, a different team, just with a different style, maybe with a more aggressive, higher pressing style. Because I think teams that like press very highly and very intensely, defenders like that are more suited to that because you have to like dive in immediately because you're playing a high line and you have to just like, you know, go all in or not, you know. But for a team that plays a lower block, I mean, you just can't do that. Yeah, obviously we have to get a replacement for him, but yeah, I don't know. This economy, I don't know what we can get. So that does worry me a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see.
Before we get to our next question, I'll go ahead and make the comparison since they were bought in the same transfer window a couple summers ago, and obviously they've been linked with one filling the other's shoes during this transfer window. And as I just looked up, they're all of about 6 weeks difference in age between the two of them. That's obviously Demiral and Christian Romero. And as we joke, it's unfortunate that we don't have a member of the Romero family here to praise their cousin. But you look at what Atalanta did with Romero this past year. He played regularly and he took that next step, even though he's still relatively young at 23. You look at Demiral, he's gotten inconsistent playing time, and he very much looks like a player who is still trying to figure out all of the skills that he has. I mean, when he's the best is, at least in my eyes, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the best he's looked is when he's gotten, say, 3-4 weeks consistent playing time, not when, say, he comes off the bench and he's asked to basically play hero in the Champions League game. Not that I'm still bitter about that. But between the two of them, Romero has taken the next step. Demiral hasn't. And so now it's kind of on Juventus to make the decision. Do you, say, sacrifice him to the capital gains gods, or do you still keep him to wait for that potential to be fulfilled? But at the same time, like we've alluded to, Demiral also wants playing time, which on a team with Chiellini, Bonucci, De Ligt is going to be hard to come by. So it's all a mess, it seems like, when it comes to who is essentially the number four center back on the depth chart right now.
Also depends a lot on how much confidence do you have in Dragosin and how he might develop.
Yeah, because if Allegri rates him highly, then you're obviously a lot more willing to say, all right, Mary, we'll take the 35, 40 million we might get from Atalanta or Borussia Dortmund or whoever, and you know, say thanks for the last couple of years, but we need the money. So on that note, another question here from our crew member at Caleb Turrentine. Who is your favorite athlete in the entire Olympics and why is it Lena Hurtig?
Hardy, hardy, hard. man, I don't know. I was just watching triathlon just coming just before jumping on the podcast. So I don't know, those people are the true definition of Olympians because I don't know, that's next level. Swimming, cycling, running. Yeah, those are true Olympians. So any triathlon member, those are the true Olympians and the true MVPs.
I think they're the true weirdos. Why the hell would you put your body willing through something like that willingly? My God.
For the people.
The thank same you, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, right. Yes. It's the same with marathoners. Whenever I hear people talking about wanting to run a marathon, I'm like, you know that the story is the guy runs from the battle to Athens and then he says two words and he drops dead. Like that's the story. But first off, shout out for our girl, Lena, because, you know, she's been really excellent for a Sweden team that has kind of been the toast of the women's competition so far with that big and very unexpectedly big win against the US. She's played great. She's been one of the best players on the Swedish team for sure. Along with what her teammate Stina Blackstenius, which I think is just the most metal name in football. Apart from Lena, favorite athlete at the games is 100% Simone Biles, because my God, the things that woman does like we're talking about a woman, we're talking about a woman who the International Gymnastics Federation artificially depresses her difficulty levels on her routines because they don't want other women trying them and breaking their necks. Like, she just does that no one else can do. And every time I watch her do something, I'm like, damn, I am untalented. But, you know, this whole thing with the Olympics is it made me feel really old because I was thinking to myself, the last time there was a summer, this is the first time since 2000 that there's been Olympics without Michael Phelps. That means that the last time Michael Phelps did not swim in the Olympics was the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta when I was 6. And I don't like that.
With age comes wisdom.
And apparently for you, Chuck's
I guess that's
musical lyrics.
I guess we'll have to consider that the trade-off then.
All right. We actually had a few questions directly for Sergio, but we'll save those for next time. We appreciate you guys sending those in, as well as the questions that we did get to. Very Mary Demerol heavy this week. So say that three times fast. Appreciate them always when you guys send them in. So if you do want to send in Twitter questions, feel free to send them to @JuventusNation on Twitter. Feel free to follow us on there, as well as on Facebook at Black and White and Red All Over. You can also follow us on your favorite podcasting platform by searching Black and White and Red All Over, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. We mentioned Lena Hertig, and I was going to joke but completely forgot that as you, the Juventus men grinded through a 3-1 win, the Juventus women, with much more of their regular lineup, absolutely dominated their first friendly. So the Joe Montemurro era is off to a much more high-flying start than the Max Allegri 2.0. But we'll see once Max gets a few more players back. I think we can judge things on a curve for the time being. So with all that being said, for Sam, for Chucks, and for the absent Sergio, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.